Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Today is Palm Sunday. And we read in our scripture today that Jesus is entering into the city of Jerusalem. He is entering into final chapter of his earthly ministry. But before he comes into the city of Jerusalem, we read in the Gospel of Mark chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10, three different times he predicts his death. And he tells again and again to his disciples and those who are around him that he is going to die. And after reminding them, after telling them, finally he is there, ready to enter into the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a very famous place. And what does the city of Jerusalem represent? The city of Jerusalem has been the most troubled place in the world. It is a place where there is a division, where there is a struggle, where there is a conflict, where there is a confrontation, and continuous war going on. Jerusalem, however, is not located only in Israel. Within every human heart, there is a Jerusalem. Where there is a division, where there is a struggle, where there is a confusion, conflict, confrontation, and continuous spiritual war is going on. And there, that's where the Prince of Peace want to enter today. As we think about Palm Sunday, we start thinking about a few things. We see enthusiastic crowd taking their cloaks off and spreading on the road for Jesus. We see, we imagine and we picture about palm branches. We see a joyful celebration. And yes, we do think about the donkey. I remember Palm Sunday celebration from my place where I come from. It's a place called Miraj. It's very concentrated with a Christian population. And we used to celebrate it very enthusiastically. Very early morning, 6 o'clock, we used to gather outside the city, the town, and from there, we used to march in town, singing and proclaiming name of Jesus. And it used to be a wonderful occasion where, as a child, I enjoyed that procession. And all onlookers were used to stand on the road on the other side, and we used to march, hundreds of us. So nearly 500 to 600 people used to just go on the road marching, shouting and praising Jesus that he is coming in Jerusalem to die for all of us. As a child, we used to take the palms and usually we used to have palm crosses in our hand and we used to go shouting with that. But very soon, very quickly, some or the other reason, this cross is turned upside down in our hands and it became sword. And we used to start fighting with each other. But somehow, it is very prophetic, I'll tell you. I'll come back to that. And that's how we enjoyed being there. And though there was no donkey involved in the procession, somehow I always thought about the donkey on the day of Palm Sunday. Miraj, again, the place where I brought up, is very famous for three D's. And the first D stands for dust. It is a very dusty place. Once the monsoon is gone, when the rain is gone, very quickly the earth gets loose, and then you can see dust everywhere. The second D stands for doctors. It's a very renowned place for doctors. There are many doctors around there. Very renowned specialists live in that area. And because the reason for that is 150 years ago, one of the American missionary who came there, Dr. William Wanless, and started his ministry, started treating people, and then he basically established that medical empire that stands there. And that's why we have loads of doctors around. And third D stands for donkey. Donkeys. Some or the other reason, our place is full of donkeys. It's so strange that if you go to the next town, you don't see any donkeys around. But somehow in that area, we have loads of donkeys. And perhaps that's the reason I thought about donkeys on Palm Sunday. And today, even I would like to draw your attention on donkeys. You know, I'm not asking you to compare yourself with a donkey, but just look into him. And the part he plays and the lessons that he teaches us through his involvement in this story. This story, donkey in this story, is special. No one had ever rode on him, and there was it was not used for any other purposes. This animal was set aside for a sacred purpose. In Mark chapter 11 and verse 2 and 3, we read that Jesus tells his disciples, saying, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter into that village, you will find a colt tied there, which is no one has ever sat on him, until, and then untie it and bring it here. And anyone asks you why you're doing this, tell them that the Lord needs it." The Lord needs it. Jesus probably, Jesus is not really asking, go and then steal and bring the donkey without anybody's permission. Probably Jesus had a friend in many towns as he went ministering around. And someone must have said him, "If anything you need, just let me know. Just tell me, and I will do a favor for you." And perhaps Jesus is counting on one of his friends who had a long-standing offer for him. Jesus is not telling his disciples to engage in a grand theft donkey. But he is basically perhaps calling one of his friends to do something for him. The donkey plays a very small but very important role in this today's story. It teaches us important lessons of Christian life. The first thing, it teaches us that we are chosen. We are chosen. We see Jesus sends his disciple into the village to get this donkey. And Jesus knew very well where that donkey would be found. And he tells that to his disciples. And when they go there, they exactly find where Jesus had asked that donkey would be found. Now, likewise, Jesus knows where we are and what we are going through as his children. Surely the donkey was not there by chance or by coincidence. Donkey was there by appointment. And God had arranged for that donkey to be there in that place. All that donkey had to do is make itself available for the work of God. There were many donkeys in that village, but God had chosen that particular donkey to be there in that particular time, in that particular place, to be found by his disciples. And I think that is the same, and that is very true with us as well. We are chosen and put in this place at this particular time for a reason. God has a purpose and reason for all of us. John 15:16 tells us that when Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I have chosen you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit." If God can use that little donkey for his purpose, he can use us too. All we need to do is to make ourselves available for him. Secondly, we learn from this donkey that we are needed. We are needed. God needs us, all of us. God not only needs preachers or pastors or evangelists, he needs all of us. In the biblical account, we read there was a prophecy that has to be fulfilled. In Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, we read, he writes, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, the king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey." It was said very well in time ago that Jesus would come on donkey. Does God really need us to achieve his perfect plan in this world? Yes, he does need us, and he needs all of us. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, we read, God is asking, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" He's not saying, "Will you go? Will you go?" He's not pointing out fingers to anyone. But his question and his invitation is very open. Open to all, asking, "Who shall I send? Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" In verse we read that Jesus tells his disciples, "Go and untie that donkey and bring it to me. And if anybody asks any questions or objects you, tell them that the Lord needs it." I would like to propose that God uses us for our own benefits. Truly, we can see God works in our life and through our lives. And as he works in our life, the result is our faith grows and it becomes a personal experience. It's no longer an experience of your neighbor or your other friend or someone from the congregation. When God works with you, it becomes your own experience. And when you, as you live your life, there comes a corner where you face difficulties in your life. And at this time, you can recall this encounter of God in your life where he has used you. And you can gain strength remembering that the way God has helped you. Without such a special experience of God working in our lives, our darker times would seem much darker. And that's why Ephesians 2 and verse 10, Paul reminds us that, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God has already planned good works that he wants to fulfill through you and me. He wants to use all of us to be involved, to be part of this ministry, to do good work in this world. We are needed. Doesn't matter who we are, how insignificant we think we are. God needs us, and he needs us all. Only thing that we need to do is make ourselves available for his work. The third thing we learn is that we are to carry Jesus. the donkey carried Jesus on the road to Jerusalem. That's what he did. But as in that process, as he carried Jesus on the road into Jerusalem, it carried Jesus through the multitude of people. And that is true with us all. As God uses us and we get used for God, as we live, what happens that we carry Jesus through multitude of people? Because people see us. But as they see us, they see Christ working in us. And that is how they see Christ. And that's what God wants us to do. We are to carry Jesus as we live. That's what Paul is urging us to do. That's what we heard when Urmila read from that passage from Philippians. Paul is urging us to have us a mindset like Christ. And that's what it means to carry him, having the same understanding what Christ had about other people. Loving others, humbling ourselves, putting others before you, elevating others more than you. That's what he says there. And in this context, humbling means keeping God's interest first. Trying to see what God is doing us rather than what we want to do in our lives first. We are needed. We need to be humble ourselves because we are carrying him as we live. We know that donkey plays a very important role in this story. And on this Palm Sunday, he reminds us that we are chosen, we are needed, and we are to carry Jesus in our lives. And as we know the story of Jesus, as it goes on, he gets into the city of Jerusalem, and it doesn't end there. He goes ahead, and as he predicted, he dies on the cross. He gets buried, and people thought, oh, that's the end of him. But that was not the end of him. He rose again and gave, stayed with them for a few days and then was taken back to his father. Well, again, people think, oh, that was the end of Jesus. Oh, that's not the end of Jesus either. You know, his story that we know that he will come back again. Scripture tells us that he will come back again. But when he comes back again, he will not come back on a donkey. He will be not coming on a donkey as a prince of peace. Revelation 19:11-16 tells us that he will come on a horse as a king. He will come on the horse as a king. And this time, he will not carry the cross. Revelation very clearly tells us he will not carry the cross, but very clearly tells us he will be carrying the sword. No more donkeys and no more cross at this time. He will be on the horse having sword in his hand. He will come as a king and a judge. And that's why Paul tells us in Philippians 2:11 that when he comes, the name of the Lord, that for the name of Jesus, every knee will be bowed, and in heaven, on earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Lord. And that's what God is calling us from his first coming to the second coming, the time that he's given us to work for him. And when he'll come, he will be coming as a judge. But till he comes and judges and takes us with him, we are reminded by this donkey that we are chosen by the King of Kings to work for him. We are needed for the extension of his kingdom. And we are to carry Jesus as we live, so many may see him and receive him as their Savior, and King. May God bless us all. And as we celebrate this Palm Sunday, may He grant us all needed strength to be used for His glory.